Are all hearts clear? Woody Allen once began a commencement address with the following observation. More than at any other time in history, mankind faces a crossroads. One path leads to despair and utter hopelessness. The other to total extinction. Let us pray we have wisdom to choose correctly. Funny, but actually sort of sums it up for some people nowadays. I have read recently that a disturbing number of millennials, that is people who have come of age around the turn of the millennium, around the year 2000, a disturbing number of these folks are choosing not to have children. Of course, that's always a valid option. Some people may feel that they're just not cut out to raise kids. With the increase of economic opportunities for women, many are delaying marriage and putting off child rearing for many years. Also, a number of people don't have kids because they don't believe they can afford to raise a family. I think it's a sad state of affairs when both husband and wife are working full-time and still are unable to have enough money to raise a child. But there's another, even more disturbing reason why a number of millennials are choosing not to have kids. It's because they look around at the world and decide this is not the kind of place they want to bring kids into. That, friends, I suggest represents a loss of hope, a deep loss of hope. Because, and many have said this more eloquently than I can, but life depends on hope. Hope is what keeps our hearts alive. It is hope that allows us to really live and to thrive and to flourish in this world. So I'm going to get up close and personal with you for just a moment and encourage everybody here to think a minute about how this works in your life. The broad, more general question, what do you hope for this world? And for the people in this world, what do you hope for? More personally, what do you hope for your family, your children, your grandchildren? What are your hopes for the remaining years of your life? What do you hope it will look like between this morning and when you, as we all will, pass from this world? What do you hope for after your life on earth ends? Finally, on what or on whom does your hope depend? Our celebration this morning, Easter Sunday, is all about hope. You know, the early church, that's why we meet, of course, on the first day of the week, rather than on the Jewish Sabbath, is because it's a celebration every Sunday of the resurrection of Jesus. The early church actually called these Sunday mornings, these first day of the week gatherings, Little Easters. Because with Easter, we're actually born into a world that's being set right. We look around us and we see so much that disturbs us. We listen to the news and it's hard to take for very long. But in the middle of that world, the world that is how it really is today, it is that world that Easter promises us is being set right through what Jesus achieved on the cross and through his resurrection. The scripture says that it is by God's great mercy that you have been born into a living hope. How? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. In other words, all the forces that led to the cross of Jesus have been defeated. Jesus has risen victorious over darkness, evil, sin, death. The light shines in the darkness, the gospel tells us, and the darkness did not overcome it. And so that means that the gospel, the resurrection of Jesus, gives you and gives me access into this kingdom that Jesus proclaimed. The never-ending, never-failing, always good and always loving kingdom of God. We are born into that life. We are delivered like a baby. We're delivered into that newness of life. Just like the risen Christ emerged from the darkness of the tomb. We're born into a whole new world. It's kind of hard to believe that sometimes, isn't it? It still looks like the old world, pretty much, if you look around. But that's part of the point, friends. We have been born into the new world, that the resurrected life, the new creation that God promises us, takes place in us, and we bring it into the world then. So this hope is ours because why? Because Jesus is ours. I really still like the way the E. Stanley Jones, who was a missionary to India and that part of the world several decades ago, he said it really well. He said, if you have Jesus, you have the resurrection. Jesus is resurrecting your mind, your body, your spirit, your hopes, your outlook, your everything. In him, you're resurrected now. Look around at the people around you. Go ahead. Look at your friends. Look at the person sitting next to you. We're a gathering of resurrected people. We're Easter people. If you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts and your minds on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. And in the end, I like what Stanley Jones says, I shall one day salute the resurrection of my body like an old friend. But the resurrection begins now. So what's a living hope? It's a hope that's alive. Our hope is alive because Christ lives. He continues to be God with us here and now. Right now, this morning. So we're born into a world that we can count on God being there. God's our Father, and the Spirit of His risen Son lives in us. So it's hope for living. It's a living hope, and it's therefore a hope for living. As I said, we still see plenty of evidence that the old world's still around. First Peter says, in this you rejoice, even if now for a little while you've had to suffer various trials. Anybody have a trial this week? If you didn't, you're not paying attention. Matter of fact, you might want to check your pulse. I like the picture that the late Norman Shawchuk shared, a picture that describes it for us. He says, on Easter morning, I had boarded a plane destined for Fargo, North Dakota. I was feeling sorry that I had to travel on Easter, yet I was reflecting and praising God for resurrection, the true meaning of Easter. As the wheels of the plane left the runway, the voice of the captain broke into my lonely silence. "Good morning, ladies and gentlemen," he said, "and happy Easter. It's going to be a bit choppy on our climb out today, but we're expecting it to be somewhat smoother when we reach our assigned altitude at 31,000 feet. The weather at our destination is beautiful. The temperature there is a balmy 50 degrees. And Shawchuk says, "I forgot my self-pity as I thought he just told us the entire Christian story, including Easter in that brief announcement. Our life in Christ is similar. For a time, we have to suffer various trials so that the genuineness of our faith, though being tested by fire, may be found to result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed." He says, while we were never promised a smooth flight, if you thought you were getting a smooth flight here, let me burst your bubble. We're never promised a smooth flight. We're expecting a much smoother journey, though, when we reach our assigned altitude. For we're assigned to live in the Spirit and the life of Christ. God is our captain, and we will rise above the choppiness that is now our momentary experience. This is the hope and the promise of resurrection power at its fullest and its best. This is the glory of Easter. Not a life without problems. Not a life without suffering, a life without illness, a life without people who, what's the right word to say, make us angry, people who don't behave the way we want them to, blasted illnesses that won't go away. You fill in the blanks. We're not promised that we're not going to have any of that stuff. If that's what you think the resurrected life is, let me go ahead and put your faith to death right here. It doesn't work that way, does it? We know that some of the most faithful people in this world have suffered more than anybody else. Of course, the Lord Jesus himself. But this is a life that climbs to a higher altitude. Something that gets us through those times. Because we're not alone. And we have the promise that in the end, all will be well. And in our hearts, in the midst of this, all can be well. Because we're accompanied by the living presence of Christ, who is the love of God for us. I'm convinced that, what does he say? Neither life, nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor all kinds of other stuff that I can't remember right now. None of that will separate us from the love of God, which is ours in Christ Jesus. The resurrection is our guarantee of that. This world needs a sign of hope, I think. I'm guessing that your smaller world, the one you move in, the home in which you live, the place where you work, the friends you hang out with, they could use a sign of hope. With the resurrection of Christ, that's you. As people of the risen Christ, even though it seems like the dead of winter out there in the world, we can be like a robin suddenly appearing on a cold, gray February morning. Or like a crocus poking up through a snow-covered flower bed. A warm, sunny new day is coming. And we're called to be living signs of a whole world that's going to be restored to the flourishing green of God's kingdom. How do we know that? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Amen.